السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من احب لله وابغض لله واعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الايمان او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. We have been discussing this hadith of Nabi عليه الصلاه والسلام in which رسول پاک صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the person who loves for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his love for anyone is solely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure, for Allah ta'ala's sake. If he dislikes, if he hates, if he makes enemy of someone, then his enmity is also solely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's sake. When the person gives, he gives for the sake of Allah. And when he holds back and does not give, then also it is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Then he has completed his faith, he has perfected his iman. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this he has given us a shortcut route to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is giving us a shortcut route to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because in one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who loves solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his muhabbat for someone is solely for Allah ta'ala's pleasure. He has befriended a person so that Allah ta'ala becomes pleased and happy, so that he may learn the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from that person, so that he may get the qurb and the ma'rifat from that person, so that he may learn Allah ta'ala's yaqeen, or yaqeen on Allah ta'ala, so that he may learn the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala, so that he may learn the tawakkul and the trust and the faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so that he may get the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart. Now his friendship is solely for these reasons. It is in the fulfillment of a hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he loves it. So then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, on the day of qiyamah, when there will be no shade anywhere, Allah Ta'ala will give these two people shelter under his throne. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when a person sets out to go and meet a salih person, a righteous person, or a person whom he has befriended solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has got no other maqsad. I'm explaining this hadith that he's got no other maqsad, no other purpose, no other niyat. He hasn't got any gharaz of dunya in it, no dunyavi objective in it. Then Allah Ta'ala stations an angel on his way. Now he doesn't hear, he doesn't listen. We cannot hear the angel's voice, and we cannot even hear the answer that we give to this angel. But there are many things that we don't listen to. There are many things we don't see with our eyes. There are many things that are happening and we are not even aware of. And the simple example of that is that a person in his dream, he is questioning people in his dream, and he is giving reply also in his dream. But if you have to ask that person when he gets up, because you overheard that conversation, the person is fast asleep, but he's got a habit of speaking loudly in his dream. Sometimes he's giving talaq to his wife in the dream. Fortunately, Allah Ta'ala waved off and made maaf whatever transpires in the dream. Otherwise, we do not know how many people's wives would have been divorced. So if this person in the dream, he's questioning someone, he's asking some question and he's getting a reply. If you have to ask that person when he gets up, that did you hear the, you said this and you replied, or you said this, the person replied, he will say, no, I don't know anything about it. So Allah Ta'ala has kept certain examples in this world so that people with low intelligence and people who have doubts all the time, they may also be guided. For example, the azab of qabr. Now the azab of qabr also, those who reject it, they say, how can there be azab in the qabr? Because when we are sitting there by the qabr, or if we have to put that dead body in a glass casing, as we have the mummies which have been embalmed in certain museums. So you say, if we have to do that, and the person is a disbeliever in Allah Ta'ala. The person was a sinful one, he was a fasiq. So we are sitting there, we never saw any snake coming, we didn't see any scorpion coming, we didn't see any fire with our eyes, we didn't see anything. And you are talking about azab of qabr. So again, the same simple example, that the person is sitting next to someone who is fast asleep. Now the person who is fast asleep, in his dream, he is seeing that there is a fire that is burning his home, and it caught onto his clothes, and he too is now screaming because the fire has caught onto him. Or sometimes he sees a huge snake and a huge cobra that is chasing him. Or the person is seeing a huge lion. He was taking a walk in the dream in the Kruger National Park, and next thing he sees one huge lion behind him. Now while he is in the dream state, it is a reality for him. In the dream state, it is a reality. If the person knows that it is a dream, then he's not sleeping. If the person knows that it is a dream, then he is not sleeping. Because when this person gets up, then he gets up with a shock. So many people have had heart attacks because of dreams. That in the dream they saw something and they had a weak heart. Now when they got up, the palpitation was so strong because of that fear that caught them in the dream, that the person gets a heart attack. Or the person gets up screaming, and you ask him that, why are you screaming? He says, no, a lion was chasing me. Or there were enemies after me. I was being held up at gunpoint. He said, well, here there's no gunpoint here. You are sleeping comfortably on your mattress and you've got all the luxuries. But in the dream, it's like reality. So this azab which we are talking about is an azab that is to the soul. Sometimes it is to the soul and the body, but otherwise it is to the soul of the person. So even if the person's body has disintegrated in the qabr, his soul is still alive. So by means of this example, we can understand that that person can still be getting azab of qabr. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from it. So, I don't know what I was discussing, but in any case, I think I was talking about this muhabbat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives, yes, I was talking about the angel, that Allah Ta'ala stations an angel, and this angel asks this person, Aina Turid, what are you desiring? Where are you going? For what purpose have you left your home? So this person says that what I am desiring is a friend, a brother, a person that I am going to visit solely for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I love him for no other purpose but for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. My love for him is solely for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's sake. So then this angel says that if that is the reason and you have got no other motive behind it, you are not going for any worldly reasons, so then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also loves you. Now we didn't hear this conversation. That is why Allah Ta'ala put that example into my mind about the dream. That although we didn't hear this conversation, but it has taken place, and we have given, our soul has given a reply. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mahbubiyat, whatever He has promised, is genuine. So if this love of ours was solely for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and not for any other reason, then Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat would have also come into our hearts. Because if you have to look at it, another hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which comes to mind, in that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions of 70,000 angels accompanying this person and making dua for him. The gist of which is that, O Allah, just as this person has set out for no other reason but to meet this salih person, this righteous person, this brother, for the sake of your pleasure, then you too, O Allah, join him with you. In other words, you give him your qurb, you give him your blessings, you give him your marifat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says with regards to Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Announce, O Rasul of mine, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala is addressing Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to announce and to tell the people that if you love Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then make ittiba of me, follow my footsteps, follow my lifestyle. Then Allah Ta'ala will love you too. Allah Ta'ala will then love you. Now there Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told to announce that. And in this hadith we are told that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's angel announces that just as you love him, so Allah Ta'ala's mahbubiyat is also for you. Now the unfortunate part is most of our meetings is not for the sake of the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. It is for worldly reasons. There's a gharaz of dunya in everything that we do. Until our matlab is there, then we have got the person as a friend. When our matlab has ended, we are no more enjoying any kind of favors from that person. Or what we had set out to achieve, our objective is not being achieved. Then we find that that friendship also has disintegrated. So we are losing out on so much of blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So much of blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala we are losing out because our maqsad and our niyat was something else. Sometimes a person gives gifts to some family member of his, some friend of his, or even some Allah wala that the person considers to be an Allah wala. But the purpose of giving those gifts was so that he may get a lot of shukriya in return. The person was announced that so and so has been giving me gifts and so has got great taluk and great muhabbat with me. So for a few days that person announced so that muhabbat stayed. And then on some occasion this person asked him for a favor. This brother, this sister, this auntie, this uncle, or this nephew or niece or any other person towards whom this person was showing favors. Then after some time it so happened that there was some favor that this person wanted of that person that was being assisted and helped. Or not helped and assisted, even given gifts, because it's not necessary that the person is always poor. But when this person asked for some favor in return, due to whatever reason that person refused or said that I cannot oblige. So immediately this person says, all my life I've been helping this person. All my life I've been giving my aunt gifts and I've been giving my brother loans and I've been giving my sister this assistance. And just once in my lifetime I asked her, just once in my lifetime I asked him and they refused to help me. So that's the end of the friendship. This statement itself shows that that entire muhabbat was not for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The person has lost his entire life's earnings because of this statement that this person has made. It's like hijacks, that same example that I was giving you, that the person was accumulating, accumulating, earning and earning. When everything got accumulated, then just one hijacker or just one hold up and everything is gone. So let us bring about some change in our niyats, in our intentions. Let our muhabbat be solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Let our dislike be solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Let our giving be solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And let our holding back our gifts and our charities and our donations and whatever it may be again solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Because it's not necessary that every charity also is maqbool. Even the charity that a person gives, it must be maqbool. The person, and it will become maqbool when the person is giving it to the right person and to the right people or to the right the deserving recipients, then it will become maqbool. Otherwise even the charity is not going to be maqbool. If the charity, the person gave a big amount, why? Because Mr. So-and-so or one great Maulana Sahab or one great Buzruk Sahab or somebody very influential in society came with a black book for donation. So now this person opened out his heart and gave a big donation. Now, he didn't give for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. He gave that big donation because Mr. So-and-so came. Therefore, those who go and do collection and ask for donations, if they are using their personality to get that donation, that means that person becomes forced. He feels ashamed and embarrassed if he's not going to give. Then this person who is doing that donation, that collection, is like extracting from that person by force, and there will be no reward for it. In fact, this person is a sinner, because he is using indirect pressure on a person to extract his wealth. Now, this ikhlas doesn't come just like that by reading kitabs. Ikhlas comes from the hearts of those who got ikhlas. And the ahlullah, those who got the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, their hearts are reservoirs of ikhlas. And in their company, when we are going to sit, and we are going to learn, and we are going to listen, and even if we don't listen, and they sit quietly and silently, and we sit in their majlis, with this niyat that, oh Allah, this ikhlas which is in their hearts, this muhabbat which is in the heart of this beloved of yours, oh Allah, this yaqeen, this marifat, this tawakkul, this zuhud and qanaat that is in the heart, Ya Allah, transfer that into my heart. Then we will find that coming slowly into our hearts too. Then it comes. Jis qalb ki aahon ne dil phoonk diye laakhon, jis qalb ki aahon ne dil phoonk diye laakhon, us qalb mein ya Allah kya aag lagi hogi. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us all with ikhlas. Bless us with his marifat, with his muhabbat, with his yaqeen. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with hasana fi dunya and hasana fi al-akhirah, which covers everything of the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.